Don't trust ministers about money unless they do what they preach.
Amen.
And this man here, I was his pastor for a long time, and I know they are givers.
Thank you, Jesus.
But you may have heard the story, but a few years back when they were scraping along, trying to raise some kids and all that.
Still trying to.
And Robert. And, well, you only got a couple in college.
We're not
right
scraping quite as bad
you,
as
you
we
only
used
got
to
a couple in college right now at the same time. So a few years back there, he had a Harley-Davidson motorcycle that he dearly loved. He had managed to get that thing.
It was a Honda, though.
Was it a Honda? Sorry.
If I'm going to get a Harley back in return, that'll be all right.
Let me tell this story.
Prophesy, brother.
It's a big it's a nice Honda. Nice Honda. And the Lord told him, it was a week that Andrew Womack was over in Charlotte at Freedom Christian Center, and the Lord told him to take that motorcycle over there and give it to him and tell him to raffle it off and give all the money to Andrew Womack Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did that, and you know what? The blessings have been flowing ever since, but about that and a lot of other things. But I want to say something quickly about Bishop Sousa, too, because I stay in contact with him. And if you've seen the news, Kenya had their elections this past Tuesday. Nairobi is just about like a ghost town because so many people had to leave town because they're afraid of getting killed. Mm. And what always happens in a lot of those places, including Kenya, is when they have the election, whoever lost accuses the winner of cheating. And they probably did. But then all the fighting and the killing and the shooting starts and all that squabbling. So Bishop's over there in that mess right now with all that going on. And so we be sure and keep him in your prayers. And he's always grateful. Every time I talk to him, he says, thank Pastor Robert and his church for helping me.
Amen. Amen. With all that going on over there. And, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's not here in person, but we can read his letters. You know, there's a lot of work that he was doing. Not many people gave him to his work, but that did not stop him from doing what God called him to do. Whether he had to stop and start making tents, making money however he needed to, his faith was in God. And then God did partner and send some people, but not everybody wrote the check. Everybody had good intentions, but they just didn't write the check out. Now, I'm not telling you to write checks out unless you got money to back it up, right? A faith check ain't writing a check out and you ain't got the money in the bank. That's foolishness. Faith is you're going to do it because you was going to buy you a motorcycle, but no, faith says you blessed the man of God, and the motorcycle might come in the way of lawnmower until you get the next motorcycle. See, my priorities were all out of whack back then, and I needed to get that motorcycle out of my hands because there was a greater work I needed to do. But I still, y'all here long enough, I still like motorcycles. I'm still believing for my heart. I don't know if it's going to be a Harley. If it's a Harley, I'll take a Harley. Because I can trade a Harley in for a real nice Honda, Yamaha, but hey.
Take both of them.
That's right. Let me see it. I'll tell you let me see it. Thank you, Jesus. But you do need to be specific in what you believe God for. Right? When you just say, Lord, I want a boat. Man, what kind of boat you want? There's all kind of boats out there. We got some boats ain't big enough to even go in the Lake Norman. You know, there's cruisers out there, yachts. You know, you got to watch what got to be specific. So this morning, let's pray over the word. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, that you have something you need to say today. You've always got something you want to say, and it's good. It's encouraging, and you want us to be ready to be a good soldier, Lord. We need to be prepared. We need to have our armor. We need to know what our enemy is up to, what he's planning. So, Father, we just thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the ministry of the Word today, the teacher. You're the teacher. And Jesus, we just receive your anointing. And we just have eyes and ears to hear what you're going to say today, Lord. And, Lord, we'll be respectful to your Word. We won't only be hearers, Lord. We purpose to be doers, to go out here and be doers of the Word, Lord, to be the goers and the senders, to send, Lord. Send, Lord, you sent your Word and healed us, Father God. So we just thank you, Lord. Send us out to heal people. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing and your ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about, if you wasn't here last week, like I say, our purpose is to get the word, take the word of God to the world. There's CDs out here in the vestibule. Pick you one up, two, take it. We got flyers. Healing is here. It's coming to Evangel Worship Center next Saturday. We got flyers out there. There's going to be a seminar that morning and then a healing service that Sunday. And then we're going to have the speaker, Dan, over here Sunday morning. So he's going to be fired up by the time we get him. He's already fired up. He's been in the ministry over 35 years. He knows what God's called him to do, and he's doing it. Amen? And we're going to be able to have let that gift flow here in the church. We're going to honor that gift, and in doing that, man, it's going to bless us and bless others through us. So last week we talked about my aim. I aim to please God. That's my whole purpose in life, is to please God, please the Father. Jesus gave a perfect example of how we please the Father. Whatever the Father says, do, just do it. Just do that. And he's got plenty of stuff that we need to do. Each one of us have got something to do. But don't try to be doing what Jim's doing. Don't try to be doing what Steve's doing. Do what God's called you to do. Focus on what He's called you to do. We're going to be in 2 Timothy. And let's just go ahead and go there. And I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting at chapter 1, Paul. Charging Timothy. He says, Paul, I charge you, Timothy, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, or away from Jesus, and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That's the word right there. Fulfill your ministry. God's speaking to us today. For I am ready, Paul's saying, to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me, say finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have looked for His appearing. Verse 9, be diligent to me to come quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Cretans for Galatia. Titus for Demetria. Only Luke is with me. It seems like Paul lost some of his help. Only Luke is with me. He wanted the others to be with him. I remember Jim, and he probably won't mind me saying this. I remember many times at Spirit of Faith, that 8 or 9 years that we was in operation there, a lot of times when people would come in and people would have all these great aspirations of what they want to do for the kingdom, and then you turn around and they'd be gone. They were sounding good. I was like, I was getting excited, man. That's something I won't have to do. Somebody else can help. And then they gone. And Jim would come up to us at certain times, says, Jackson's, and says, are y'all going too? Y'all going to stick around? We look at pastors and say, hey, we ain't going anywhere. God's told us to help you. Until you tell me you don't need me anymore, I'm here. See, it's not about me. It's about helping, being obedient to who God tells you to help or do. That's how you fulfill your ministry. It's helping somebody else. Amen? But it didn't discourage Paul. I mean, I'm sure in his emotions he could sit there and he could write a sad letter about all this. But no, he says, but Luke's with me. Thank God Luke stuck with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me in the ministry. And some of these words, bear with me. And Titus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak, I like it, that I left with. Something about that cloak. You know, anybody good Batman, Superman? Like to watch them movies, those cloaks that they wear, you know. Well, Paul had the cloak that represented the anointing of Almighty God. Bring that cloak. Amen. I wonder if Timothy got that thing. And the books, especially the parchments. Wonder what he wrote down there. We're reading it right here. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much harm, Have you got people out there that your enemies have been doing bad to you, saying bad things to you? What does Paul do? Did Paul say, I'm going to take care of that old coppersmith. You wait till I see him. Anybody watch Gunsmoke? Come in to old Gunsmoke. You see the old coppersmith in there, you know? Something be breaking out. Time to get Matt Dillon. See, you know, you need to go to the person who has the gun and has the authority to take care of your problems. You don't need to take it in your own hands. You need to go see Matt Dillon. You need to go see Jesus. See, Paul said, that coppersmith done me wrong. May the Lord repay him according to his works. See, it's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. And what you think, don't give nobody a piece of your mind. I'm going to go give that person. You need to keep all you got. Amen. Now, verse 15. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Don't need to be hanging around that coppersmith. Don't tell him your dreams. That's between you and God. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Stephen, after they were stoning him, rejecting him, resisting the Holy Spirit. Stephen said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Same thing Jesus said. Same ministry Jesus was operating in. The Holy Ghost is the same. He says what Jesus says. That's what we got to say. And when we say that, we got the power. We're resisting evil. We got the power. God's opening up our doors, laying things out there for us. Don't mean the road ain't going to be bumpy. Just slow down a little bit. Don't hit that bump 35 mile an hour in Jesus' name. I can go. That bump's going to take your axles out or something. Slow down. My wife's bad about this. She get that Suburban, we call it the tank. It's like the road, they're tearing the road up in Mooresville because they're redoing their school. The road is terrible. You know, got the manholes. They this far up out of the ground. And she, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, slow down. Trouble ahead. Slow down. These tires, I know, out of line, you got to pay for these alignments. Slow down. Jesus says, slow down sometimes. Don't get ahead of the plan. See, the Father, the Holy Ghost knows the devil's tactics. Slow down. Slow down. Listen to me, Jesus said. Listen, I want you to fulfill your ministry. 17. The Lord stood with me, Paul's saying. He strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Sounds like he's remembering that story from Daniel. He's remembering the old covenant. Some of those stories Mama told Paul. Paul's remembering it. The same God delivered me out of that. I was stoned, thought I was going to die. Jesus raised me from the dead. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. You thinking about those good old preserves right now that Mama used to, the good old blackberry preserves, fig preserves? Man, we got something better. Jesus, every evil that happens against us and we resist it, he's just, man, I got something coming. Hang on, endure. There's a greater reward coming for you, brother, sister. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul tells him to greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household. I'm not going to pronounce that one. All these other good fellows and women. that's when you have a problem with it. Yeah, there's a lot of people, Paul said, remember their works of faithfulness. Do your uttermost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you as well as these other men and women of faith. And all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. A short letter, but a powerful letter. We could say it like this. This is the duties of a minister. This is our duty. These are some of our duties as a minister. And remember, if you're born again, you're all a minister of the gospel. You're all sent. I like 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Title today, last week, I aim to please God. I aim to keep the faith. I aim to keep the faith. Jesus lived for me, was persecuted, beaten, and whipped for me. The least I could do is live for Him. He died for me. The least I could do is live for Him, right? Live that good fight of faith. Just take a note at 2 Timothy 4:1 here. Paul charging Timothy and giving them this bold declaration. Paul had just stated that it is the Word of God that provides us with everything it takes to become perfect or mature believers. It's the Word. That's what's going to make the difference. So it makes a difference on where you are, the Word level that you're getting. Therefore, we must give priority to preaching and teaching God's Word. Now, don't get up and leave. The priority has always got to be the Word. Now, as long as you got a good children's program, that's bringing the Word. See, when you're looking to where am I supposed to be, and people out there are asking, what church do you go to? Where do you go to? Where do y'all go to church? Where do you do this? And I'm not critical here, but I have a critical ear. A lot of times I hear, well, have you heard about the praise band, the worship team? Have you heard? They got this, they're going these trips they have. They got this. Where's the Word? What have you heard from the Word? All that's good as long as you can tell me how, what are they standing on? What promises are, what's the foundation in there? Where are they going? What are they going to do on this trip? See, the priority's got to be the Word. All these big things. And that's what Paul was talking about. In the end times, people are going to leave sound teaching and doctrine to go get a feel-good message. I feel good out of there. Until the devil comes, and then he's going to hit you with something, and that feeling ain't going to help you get over it. Amen? The loss of a loved one. The world can't help you heal over that. Only the Word of God can. It's the Word of God that's going to bring you out of situations, out of that darkness and into His marvelous light. That's where your strength comes from. That's what Paul is charging Timothy. Paul's days are getting short here. He wants to make sure the next man or woman in charge is ready and prepared for the fight. Say fight. Of faith. Amen. We've got to give priority to preaching God's Word. That tells in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, previously, Young's Literal says, every writing is God-breathed. Talking about the Scripture here. And profitable for teaching, for conviction, for setting aright, for instructions that is in righteousness. That's what the Word is there for. That the man of God, woman of God, may be fitted for every good work having been completed. You know, ladies, when y'all go somewhere and buy a nice dress, I mean, you like that thing to fit right. You just don't go in there and just pick up a dress. Some guys, you know, we just see something. We 32, 42, yeah, that's me. Take it and go home. Not a woman. You better have some time on your hands. Because she's going to go to the fitting room a few times more. Make sure it's fitting her right. That's okay. We need to make sure that we are fitted for the master's service. That we're fitted and clothed with that garment of salvation, with the helmet of salvation, that garment, that breastplate of righteousness. It's not me, it's Christ in me. And the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Paul invoked the witness of God in his commands to Timothy. Invoked it. Paul was reminding Timothy that these are not just instructions. Man, Paul wrote these sweat and tears and blood as he's writing these letters. He had a purpose for writing it, for us. God had led Paul to give these commands, and he was counting on God to hold Timothy to them. It was before the Lord Jesus and the presence of God that this charge was given to Timothy. Ultimately, accountability does not lie in a church board, which church boards are good, in denominations, or in any human institution. but it lies in God. Your instructions, your correction, your vision, it's got to be from God. And it's got to be a true vision from the Lord. Not all prophets are prophets of God. That's what sound doctrine keeps a church safe from. Amen? A true vision of God is not going, really not going to have you, a lot in it about you. It shouldn't have you in it at all. I mean, you're just the messenger, but the vision is God's vision. Bishop Sousa has a vision from God to get the Word of God to Kenya. Amen? And he don't have air conditioning like we have air conditioning right here now flowing. I mean, they dress and they're nice and attire out there, but it's not comfortable over there like it is here. But he still has a vision from God. He still has a command from God to take this gospel and preach it, teach it likewise. 2 Timothy 4:2, in that scripture, Paul is telling us, all preachers throughout the ages have been commissioned to preach the word, in season, out of season. We're not supposed to preach social change. We're not supposed to preach economics, not that it's not good, or politics. We're supposed to preach the Word. Now, in the Word, you can help out your politicians. You can help out. All that can come into balance as you put it on the scale of the Word of God. As Christians, our power for change is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where our change is. That's where our future is. Which changes other people's hearts. We should stick to the Word of God and not books, movies, or television programs about God's Word. And all those are good, but we've got to bring it back to the Word. Because we know by watching certain TVs and certain stories, a lot of it is added to bring the crowds in. Jesus wasn't focused on the crowd. He was focused on the Father that He served and what He wanted Him to say. Crowds came, crowds left. Jesus focused on what He was going to say, whoever was around. Amen. If there wasn't nobody around, He's still going to preach the Word of God. He's still going to say something. God's Word has got to be enough. It will make us perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It never fails. Paul said, be instant in season, be instant out of season. You think about those instant grits. But then I've had Reed's grits out of season. In other words, they're out of my house. I can either have the instant or I can have Reed. I like Reed's. He brings that big old pot, put the butter in there. That instant, you just throw it in the bowl and add a little bit of water kind of quickly. What Paul was saying here, this means that the Word, the gospel, is to be proclaimed when we feel like doing it and when we don't feel like doing it. Amen. It don't matter. You preach that Word. See, it's in the preaching of the Word that you're going to start to feel better. You're going to have some more energy. Even though you're feeling a little, something's hitting you in your body. Maybe the flu symptoms. And I just read something. Somebody sent us in there a mail, and I'm not going to tell you where it was from because I really can't remember right now. It said Church of the Trinity, but it was a clinic. And they're going to be giving free vaccinations, flu vaccinations. Well, I said thank you, but no thank you. I mean, not politically correct. Flu's not coming to Word of Faith Worship Center or its members. See, as the leader, I've got to see, well, thank you. There's a lot of people that need to go to that, but not us. Because in Jesus' name, we're protected from the flu. We're protected from everything in this world because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that to be against people. I'm saying that to be for us. Before us, I've got to have the vision that God is our healer. Now, if we need to get a shot, get a shot. But the vision I have is we're not going to need it. Amen. Why get a shot if you don't have the flu? Right? And just to me, it just don't make sense. I mean, I learned some things through the Word of God. Before the Word of God, I believed what Mama told me. I believed what Daddy told me. Not a lot from Daddy because Daddy wasn't there a lot. I got a good Mama. She fought a good fight. Kept us in school. Kept food on the plate. Was a lot of instant grits. A lot of French fries. But Mama did what she could do. Now God's making up some things that Daddy didn't do. Did you hear that? Yeah. Mama did what she could do, but now Daddy God's making up what Mama couldn't do because Daddy didn't do it. He wasn't there. He might have ran out, but God never ran. See, Adam ran away from God, but God never ran. He was always there waiting. God never runs out on his family. He's there for his family. Amen. He made the family. He designed the family. He fitted the family with his love, with his spirit. That's what holds a family together. It's God. That's what'll hold a family together. Amen. Tough times come, but the word of God, you'll be a lot tougher than that tough time. Amen. You'll go through it. See, it is God's word that has the power to change lives, not our feelings. Don't give somebody your sympathy. Give them the word, because that's where it's going to change. Now, we have sympathy for one another. Do everything motivated by love, but our sympathy, our tears ain't going to change anything. But our tears through the word of God, through what we say, what we hear, and what God says say to that person, that's where the change is going to take place, if they'll believe it and receive it. We should never limit the word of God to how we feel. That's where faith comes in. We shouldn't refrain from sharing God's word because we don't feel that people will respond. See, that what we're saying is we're judging that person the way they're going to respond before we even give them the word. We can't do that. Speaking in season, out of season. Because we don't want to be the person that kept that harvest from coming in their life. Amen? It's wrong for us to reject God's word for others. Just say it and let them either. Jesus said, go, and when you go, don't take no money with you. Don't focus on the money. Don't focus on how you look. Don't focus on whether you put your shade or you put your deodorant on that morning. I'm just adding a little bit to this. Just get out there and go knocking on the door, and if they let you in, you got something good to say, well, it might pay to go ahead and put your deodorant on and brush your hair. That is going to make a big difference. John the Baptist didn't look too good. He didn't smell all good, but he had a good message. There are people came to hear him, but he was outside. He wasn't in the door, so I guess outside things were smelling a lot better. Stay upwind from John and don't get downwind, right? Come on, y'all need to smile a little bit. You need to laugh a little bit about that. John's laughing up there now. He wore camel's hair, and Leslie could probably tell us, being around camels, when they get wet, they probably don't smell too good. When John got to preaching and it got to raining, he kept a preaching. He wasn't smelling too good. Unless somebody started firing up the incense. I think they had incense back in the Old Testament, didn't they? If they have sense, they better have some incense to come around when John's preaching. He had a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Jesus has came. We still have a voice. Jesus has already did this, done that. Healed you, delivered you, set you free. Amen? So don't worry about what you don't have. Worry about what you do have. Don't even worry about, don't put worry even in there. Go out preaching what you have. You don't have to go to 4 years of college. We're getting ready to start LCU. Starting now, if you want to come to school, that's a good place to come. Come on. But if you don't go to school and you got the Holy Ghost, you are in school. He's the greatest teacher that's ever been around from the creation. And he ain't going nowhere. If you don't bring him an apple, being a good teacher's pet, he'll still be there. Amen? If you got some teachers, take them what they like. But don't try to just, you're doing this to get a good grade, you better do your study. Amen? Because that apple ain't going to help you when it comes time to pass the test if you don't know the answer. Paul was encouraging and was charging Timothy. You're going to have to give reproof, rebuke, and it had to be done with long suffering and doctrine. You're going to have to correct people, teach people, train people. Kelsey is training. Kelsey's moved up. You heard Wednesday night if he was here, she asked for us to pray. Steve, thank you for hearing from God and praying. She stepped up management level because her manager was pulled out. And she's really, the word is working in her mightily now. Lord, she's seeing things that you don't get to see until you get up top. Remember I talked about when Gary retired here, I was always in the back making Gary look good, sound good. I was a sound man, editing all these things, which that's good. But nobody could see me back there. I might nod off a little bit. And back up, I don't think I did much. There were some times. But when you become the leader, you get to come to the front. Now all eyes are looking at you. See, you have more responsibility. The leader has more response. People are watching you. They're following you. Jesus said, follow me. Follow. He's the leader. Right? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on. Paul's telling Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Preach it. No matter what you see. No matter what you smell. No matter what they say, you preach the word. Preach this gospel, Timothy. You're going to have to rebuke people, reprove people. You're going to have to encourage people. Paul was saying that preaching the word in and out of season and using it for reproof, rebuke, and exhortation are to be done because the time is coming and it is here now. Turn on the TV yesterday. All that craziness going on. You need somebody out there preaching the word. And they're probably going to throw stones, but hey, I got a shield of faith. That rock ain't going to hit. I ain't talking about the shields. Those cops, you keep those shields. But if somebody comes against me, I got a shield of faith. The gun ain't going to go off. The knife's not going to pierce my armor. I got angels. I got big angels. But you got to preach the word. And you got to know you've got those angels too. Don't get in that crowd preaching the gospel and don't have a shield if you know you don't have the shield of faith. So you got to use wisdom in all this. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Preach the word. Don't worry about what you feel like. Timothy was going to have a window of opportunity at this present time that he needed to take advantage of. There are periods of time in history and in every individual's life when people are more receptive to the Word of God than at other times, Reed. During times of loss, people's hearts are they're thinking on, wonder when my time is. Am I ready? Are my kids ready? Is my house in order? See, just there's times and seasons. For instance, there's times of great loss, such as death of a loved one. Often softens a person's hearts toward the Lord. Time to preach the word. National crisis. Time to preach the word. Such as during war or natural disasters, hurricanes, floods. Time to preach the word. They tend to do the same thing. We're not to wait on calamity to preach the word. Or to make special opportunity to preach this gospel. The very context of this verse is talking about preach the word in season, out of season. Carrying out God's commission in its total completion gives us a sense of satisfaction. And Jim, I know you've got a sense of satisfaction. Because I've heard him preach the word. It's blessed, it's changed my life, but it's changed others' lives. And when you can come getting older and Jim would say, he's a young man dream dreams, an old man see visions. So he's still dreaming dreams, right? Because see, he's a young man. We don't look at your age. And don't look at your IQ. Boy, y'all better be good. I'm not looking at mine. IQ? Only thing I was cueing good was a pool stick cue. I was good at a cue stick at billiards. But Jesus makes up the difference. The Holy Ghost makes up the difference. Amen? Amen. Carrying out God's commission. Many of us have seen people who were tormented just before their deaths by regrets about what they should or shouldn't have done. Paul was not that way. He's getting close to departure here. And we don't have to be that way either. Can I get a weak amen?
Amen.
We can serve the Lord with such a favor that... No regrets at old age, just joy and anticipation about our upcoming journey home. Journey home. See, we got a place that we're going to far better than this place. Paul knew that his time of death was coming, drawing near. He used three phases to sum up his life. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith. What are they going to say of you and me? Say all three. All three, because that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do for the Lord. To please the Lord is keep the faith. Keep the home light on. Keep that candle burning. The fire of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Paul's terminology leaves no doubt that being a successful Christian is no picnic in the park. Amen? Yes. We're seeing those darts that was threw at us all those many times. But the Bible says... Psalms 23, That as, yea, I go through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even in your darkest time, we talked about that song. God's got a table. Sit down, son, until your enemies be made your footstool. That's what Jesus is doing.
Yes.
He's sitting down. When the problem comes, he's sitting on it. Sitting on it. He got his feet propped up on his enemies because they're under his feet. They're under yours. They're under mine. Amen?
Yes.
It's time to sit with Jesus a little bit. Sit in that good old reclining chair. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline and recline. And you will not decline. Amen? How's that sound? I'm going to incline my ear and recline here with Jesus because I'm not going to decline. We're going on with the things of God. Amen? There's great things that were yet to be done in this city, the song sings. This Christian life is not a picnic. It's going to take some effort. However, it's God's power that causes us to overcome. That's why Paul could say, it wasn't him living, but it's Christ in me. Our efforts must stay dependent on Christ, on His anointing. As we achieve this, the Holy Spirit infuses us with that victorious, victorious power. That victorious is close to Virginia. Virginia, I was trying to... Virginia has a victorious Christian life.
Yes, amen.
Amen? I like the NIV version translate that good fight as, I have found the good fight. That implies that more than Paul having done a good job. It's stating that the fight was a good one. Amen. The Bible says when you find a wife, you find a good one. Amen. You better hang on to her, boy, because I ain't looking as good as I used to. My attributes. But my heart's real big. Amen. We don't marry them for their looks. We marry them for their Christian witness, right? We yoke up together. We have the same God. What makes any fight good? A good fight? Certainly one that would make a good fight if the outcome was guaranteed. That you have victory. That'd be a good fight worth fighting if you knew you had the victory. Well, you have the victory. Jesus has already conquered all of our foes for us, and all we have to do is stand in His victory. That makes the Christian life a good fight. Paul stated too, I have finished my course. Now get your mind off of food right now. I know you ain't even started that course yet. It's getting close, though. The clock is ticking closer to that time. But Jesus said, I've got food to eat that you know not of. Forget about that food right now. We're talking about your good fight that you're fighting right now. See, Paul's done, he's done past this stage. Now he's up in heaven wanting us to say the same thing. Fight your fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. Keep it. You're going to be rewarded for it. Amen. Down here too, but also Jesus has got a crown of righteousness. Paul stated, I have finished my course. It's comparing life to running a race. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he described this race. He said that one of the keys to winning is forgetting the things that are behind and focusing on the prize that is ahead. Paul certainly did that. He forsook everything for the rewards that laid out in front of him. If Paul would have sat down, he could have had a pity party. Think of all the Christians that he killed before he became Paul, before he became born again. If he would have thought about, if you killed one person, thought you were doing it right and found out it was wrong, just one person would be enough to torment you, for the devil to torment you for the rest of your life. Think about the many Christians that he stood there and gave the thumbs up. Take them out. And they were good people. But Paul said, that's the old man. He's dead. He had such a conversion. Jesus loved him, poured out His love on him so much that he forgot about that man. He don't even know him anymore. At one time, Paul said, I've wronged no man. How could you say that, Paul? Because Jesus has made me free. That's a good fight. See, we don't need soldiers in our military thinking about their past failures to win the victory. That's why you've got, when you got a military, you got to have a strong military. You got sergeants out there, they're going to be rough on you. We got some men and women here that could probably attest to that. I can't, but I can read about some of their biographies. I can hear about some of their stories. And though, had it not been for men being hard on them, because your enemy's not going to be easy on you. That's why Jesus always told us the truth. Because he knew the devil, there's no truth in him. He was preparing his people for the devil, for the evil that's coming. And he said, you be ready. You be prepared. Peter, I got to go to the cross. Not so, Lord. Get behind me, Satan. He looked right at his disciple that he just heard from heaven. He just heard the Father say, this is my son. He heard from heaven. Peter had a revelation. But then Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan, right to Peter, who just heard the Father at one time. See, because Jesus wasn't moved on his feelings. Peter, that's not you speaking. That's the devil. He's trying to keep me from the cross. Far be it. That's not going to come against the will of God for my life. Peter, you got to get behind me. That's the wrong voice. See, Jesus was instructing. He was rebuking, reproofing his disciples so you know to hear God's voice. That's how he knew the difference. Because when Jesus said, I'm going to do something, he's going to do it. And when God gives you something to do, you do it. That means it's possible. The provision's there. The anointing there. The power's there. If things ain't working in your life and you're just confessing the Word's not going to be. You've got to have the Spirit and the Word agree. Amen? You can confess all day, I'm rich. I'm rich. Jesus became poor that I'm rich. How much have you gave to the kingdom of God? Then you can say you're rich. See, you got to give. You can't say I'm rich. I'm rich and you haven't gave nothing. You're fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You got to look into the perfect law of liberty. The Bible says, Jesus said, give. Give, 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 give. Keep giving. As long as you got something to give, give. And it'll always be given to you. Always. God can't lie. Man, if somebody would hear that message, I'd be like, I got to get something in that plate. Because I need. Amen? Man, what would Ruthie do if she came home and she was hungry? She worked out all day. Daddy, I'm hungry. I'm saying, sorry, no food. You haven't given no food, no food. I'd give her mercy. Amen? But she knows Daddy. She knows Daddy won't do that, right? For God so loved the world, he gave Jesus. Because God knew I'd mess it up. So he gave his best. He gave himself. He said, I'm gonna make a plan. Nobody's going to mess it up. Jesus fulfilled the plan of God perfectly. So when you mess it up, don't worry. He fixed it. Be obedient. Get back. Repent. Confess your sin. Get under the blood. Get that out of your soul because the devil's going to try to condemn you with it. Get back into the fellowship. Amen? Paul, number three, he kept the faith. He kept the faith and didn't move away from the hope of the gospel. His hope that was anchored in Jesus. As a result, a crown of righteousness awaited him. And I guess he's got it. Amen? I know he's got it. He's wearing it. And we all got those crowns we'll get to wear one day. Paul wanted to let us know that this crown of righteousness wasn't just for him alone. He stated, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing when the Lord appears. Not all those when he appears are going to love the Lord. They're going to curse him because they think all the bad stuff's been coming from him. If you thought that, you'd curse that person too. But I know different. God's not my problem. God is my answer. He is love. All believers who love the Lord have crowns of righteousness waiting for them too. So to end this message, to conclude today, I told Sherry yesterday, I said, I really don't know what I'm going to preach on. And see, I got to be honest to tell you guys, if a motivational speaker was drawing thousands of people, if he just said that, he'd be stupid. I don't know what I was going to say. I'm just going to be honest with you. Until God tells me to say something, I ain't going to say it. I ain't going to preach it. So I really wasn't sure. And I had a lot in me, but I'm like, I just don't know what I want to say, Lord. I need some help. So I kind of put together what I kind of felt in my spirit, in my human spirit, to give you. And then I went to bed praying and said, Lord, have mercy on me. A pastor that's got to speak your words tomorrow. And who was it? Lewis, was you talking about you just can't sleep? You know, when the spirit, you can't go to sleep. I'm waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. But I have my conclusion. See, the Lord works. He can give you the beginning or he can give you the end. And he puts all of it together. But he gave me the ending. So I felt, praise God, at least I was on my way, wasn't I? So let us each run our race. Let us each fight our fight. David did not use Saul's armor. Jesus told Peter to put his sword in his sheath because he had taught him how to use another sword, the Word of God. I got my conclusion by getting up and going to the bathroom and I picked up a magazine. And was it A Word of Faith from Rhema? Was it Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland? Was it The Gospel Truth from Andrew Womack? These are ones I could read. Nope, wasn't none of them. You know what I picked up? Rowan's not in here. Ruth here probably know this. It's called the East Bay Magazine. Are you familiar with that one, Ruthie? Maybe it was your mom picked it up for Rowan. All it is about athletic shoes, armor, Under Armour shoes, football. I wanted to put it down, but I looked at it. All this stuff, all these gloves, these nice shoes, shiny, you know, neon. Man, we're talking about nice stuff, gloves for football players that had the guy all stretched out, you know, going for it. And I got to thinking, I didn't have all that when I played football. But you know what? I played a good game. I knew what the purpose was. Get the guy with the ball. Hit him as hard as you can. If you knock the ball out of his hands and get it, run to get a touchdown. Just get the ball. Do not let them score. I didn't have these fancy shoes. I didn't have these gloves and all this armor that made you so tight. You know, you got. I'm like, wow. David didn't wear Saul's armor, so he didn't need all of that. I was looking at that East Bay Athletic magazine this morning, all the clothes, all the shoes and the gloves they want to sell you to make the game better, make you better at your game. They want to sell it to you for a real, real hefty price. Yeah. You don't get this at Walmart. I don't know if you can get it at Dick's Sporting Goods or Academy. My wife, I don't even want to know what she pays for this stuff because my kids are wearing this stuff. Well, conclusion, you can dress yourself up to look like anything you can imagine yourself to be. But unless you have a covenant with God, you ain't much. Microsoft Word tried to make me correct that and say, you aren't much. I said, no, I say ain't. You ain't much if you're doing it in yourself. You can dress yourself up, look good, pay all this money to look good. But if you don't have a covenant with God, you ain't much. And that can only come if you got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to keep the faith? Keep Jesus first place in your life. Wear His armor. It don't cost you nothing. It'll cost you persecution. It'll cost people saying ugly things about you. Saying, why do you give more money at church than you pay on your taxes? Because I'd rather give to God than give to Caesar. I'm commanded to give to God. But you know what? I'm not underneath that commandment. I'm underneath the commandment of love. I got to give to Caesar. I got to pay my taxes, but I give to God. See, I pay Caesar, but I give God. And then God always makes sure I got plenty enough to pay old Caesar, but I got more coming in God's side. See, Caesar don't know everything. The government don't know everything. I'm not doing things illegally. I'm just telling you, I don't have to pay the doctor. I pay Jesus with my faith. And Jesus is my healer. I get healed. I get His wisdom on how to. Man, my wife gets wisdom on, man, we can use that as a deduction. See, that's God's wisdom, making sure we get all that deduction we need, that Caesar's taking all this money. Well, we'll get all those little dotted lines that we need to dot. Amen. That's what Paul did many a times. They give him a beating and a whipping, And he said, hey, you know I'm a Roman citizen? You know what you're doing to me? And then they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. See, Paul knew when he heard from God to use that situation to get out of something that he was wrongfully being done to. Don't bring fire to your enemy. Bring him a Coke and a smile. And Jesus will get you out of that situation. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that we aim as a people to keep the faith. Lord, we're going to keep the faith. Lord, we ask you to help keep that faith stirred up on the inside of the gifts on the inside of us. Lord, I stir up those gifts this morning, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the ministry gifts you are bringing into this church. And Lord, the ministry gifts you're sending from this church to go out so we can be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can go out of here and make a difference and be a difference and be the church as you've called us to be. And Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us vision, clear vision to see, not with our physical eyes, but with our heart. And to hear with the ears of our spirit, to know where to go. Somebody needs to know where to go. Father, we thank you right now that we'll know where to go right now. That they have that wisdom to know where they're supposed to go and say what they're supposed to say. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We submit to you. Spirit, soul, and body. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We lay our lives before you. Lord, we know we have a crown of righteousness when we keep our faith and we finish our course. We run this race. We run it with diligence. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering us to go out here and lay hands on sick people and see them recover, to see blind eyes, deaf ears open, to see miracles in our midst. Because Jesus, you are in our midst. And we give you the praise for that. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. I call your people blessed today. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. If we can agree and pray with you for anything this morning, the Lord's here to minister powerfully. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If you need a request, we're here to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus.